Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, the one true God, fill this place this morning with your grace as we hear your word and are encouraged. Your word to encourage us so that we possess the hope. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard of the company called Shields of Strength? For the past 20 years or so, Shields of Strength has been manufacturing dog tags with a license, under the license using the U.S. Army logo, as other companies have manufactured items under the U.S. Army logo license. And these dog tags are very popular with U.S. military personnel and many others too. Over 4 million have been manufactured with thousands. That's right, thousands given to the U.S. military. During the Iraq War, Shields of Strength donated more than 50,000 of these dog tags a month. Yes, donated 50,000 of these. Now, these dog tags are printed with Bible verses such as, "I will be strong and courageous. I will not be afraid. I will not be discouraged." It's based on Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And here's Joshua 1, verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Recently, this was in the news this past week or so, this company was barred from using the logo if they were to continue using these Bible verses. This happened after the Military Religious Freedom Foundation pressured Army officials. Now, if you're not familiar about the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, they are anything but about religious freedom. If you don't know about them, this organization is distinctly anti-Christian and its actions and behavior. So under pressure from this anti-Christian organization, the Army barred Shields of Strength from using the Army insignia, the logo, unless they removed the Bible verses. First Liberty Institute is now helping Shields of Strength fight this openly hostile action against the Christian faith. And the Institute, First Liberty Institute, takes its name from the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, where the first liberty enumerated is no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The first liberty enumerated in the free exercise clause is the free exercise of religion. It's listed before freedom of the press, before the right to assembly, and before the right to petition your government. So after years of using the Army license logo without incident, 20 years, a letter arrives stating, quote, "You are not authorized to put biblical verses on your Army products. For example, Joshua 1:9. Please remove all biblical references from all your Army products." And then the Army letter cited the Military Religious Freedom Foundation threat to sue the Army if it didn't censor the biblical references. This is what Mike Berry of First Liberty Institute quoted saying, "It is a cruel insult to our service members to deny them a source of inspiration, hope, and encouragement simply because it contains a religious message." Now keep that in mind and hear the story, a portion of Howard Rutledge. Have you heard the name Howard Rutledge? Well, he was a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. After his plane was shot down, he endured brutal treatment. And that's saying it nicely. The treatment he received was brutal. Sometimes shackled in excruciating positions for several days at a time and other very vile circumstances that I'm not going to share with you this morning. But eventually Rutledge wrote a book about this ordeal. And in the book, Howard Rutledge gives a powerful testimony of the importance of Scripture. He tells, in solitary confinement, in cruel and evil conditions, with no ministry, no pastor, no Bible, he thought back. His mind was brought back to his Sunday school days in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in that Sunday school time, he was recalling he did it to grab hold of snatches of Scripture. and snatches of sermons and other hymns of his childhood there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Rutledge wrote, "Everyone knew the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm that's speaking about the fellow prisoners, but the Kant's various favorite verse, the one that the prisoners recalled first and quoted most, was often John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave." And then he'd struggle to remember what he heard, and he was growing at amazement as what he actually recalled. And in retrospect, he came to understand the importance of memorizing Scripture. Quoting Howard Rutledge, he says, "I never dreamed that I would spend almost 7 years, five of them in solitary confinement, in a prison in North Vietnam, or that thinking about one memorized verse could make the whole day bearable." Also wrote, "I would pray, I would hum hymns silently, I'd quote Scripture and think about what that verse meant to me. The enemy knew that the best way to break a man's resistance was to crush his spirit in a lonely cell. Scripture and hymns might be boring to some, but is the way we conquered our enemy and overcame the power of death around us." And he writes it in the book, "In the Presence of My Enemies, the Heroic Story of a Former POW and His Wife and the Faith That Sustained Him." I have not read that book, but I pulled things from an article about the book. That's the power of God's Word. The power of God's Word to give hope. The power of God's Word to give peace. The power of God's Word to give joy. The power of God's Word to give hope and love and peace and joy. And the power of God's Word is made real in Christ. Be encouraged by the power of God's Word. We heard in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope." This verse jumped in my mind last week, and I was going through things, and it just grabbed hold of me. And listen to it. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach, is written for a reason. And that reason is through endurance, with the encouragement of the Scripture right there beside you and in you, we have hope. Let's dig into this verse. Written in the past, that means directly pointing to the Scripture, meaning the Hebrew Scripture, but then grew to mean all of Scripture. The Old Testament, because at the time this letter was written to the Romans, that was pretty much they had, was the Hebrew Scripture, which we call the Old Testament. But then the New Testament came to be. Whatever was written to teach. That Greek word has the meaning of applied teaching. That is Christian doctrine, which is the teaching, especially as it extends into the necessary lifestyle that is to come as a Christian. What was written to inform and shape the faith. Scripture, that root word is graphe. And in the Greek, it's used 51 times in the New Testament, and it always refers to Holy Scripture. So understand that at the time Paul was writing this letter to Romans, about 56-57 AD, the Scripture of the New Testament was being created and crafted by God's Holy Spirit in the same manner as the Old Testament had came to be. So that, we have that in verse 4 of chapter 15, so that there's a purpose, instructing and building the faith. Endurance, that word endurance in verse 4, that means to remain under the pressure, that pressure with steadfastness of faith. Yes, you're being crushed. Yes, you're being tortured. Yes, you're having times of tribulation, but you're steadfast in the faith. That's what endurance means here, as in the example of Howard Rutledge, as I mentioned just a few moments earlier. And under that pressure, you have the encouragement of the Scripture. The Greek word translated as encouragement is parakalesis, with the basic meaning of coming alongside you. The Scripture comes alongside you, and that comes beside you to bring God's verdict, to reveal how the Lord weighs in on the facts of what's going on in your life. And the context of the word is important for setting its meaning. For sometimes this word can mean exhortation, to move you. Other times this word can be warning, to keep you from going someplace. Other times it means encouragement. And other places it means comfort and consolation. What it does is this word of God, the scripture, comes beside you and brings hope and peace and joy and love to your soul because it reveals Christ, Christ in you. So you get the encouragement of scripture, and this all comes together. It all comes together, as verse 4 says, Romans chapter 15, to bring hope. And the proper understanding of hope is an expectation which is sure. It is certainly true. It's not, oh, I hope I get for Christmas. Are you hearing that right now a lot? Oh, I have forget to Christmas, and you know they're not going to get that PlayStation, whatever number it's up to now, for Christmas. That hope is an unfulfilled expectation. That's not the meaning of hope at all. The word hope here in God's word is a certainty. You're expecting it, and what you're expecting, you know darn tootin' sure it's coming. You have hope. You have hope. Then in verse 4 of chapter 15, it says, we might have hope. And it's just to get that flow of English going, that word might is included there. And when you and I hear the word might, it carries the sense might not, that possibility of things. The Greek root word here does not have an issue or a sense of possibility. Rather, the Greek word carries the meaning of you have it, you possess it, you're already holding fast to it. It's not a possibility, rather it's a certainty. It is already in your possession. You have it, you hold it, you possess it. What this means is that the scripture was written to teach us such that as we go through times of life and the trials of life, we would have the steadfastness of faith even under pressure because the scriptures, the word of God, has come beside us to comfort us, to exhort us, to encourage us, even in the midst of those situations, so that we possess hope. We have it as ours. Matthew chapter 3, see how he uses the scripture to describe John the Baptizer. I begin with Matthew 3, starting at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Matthew is quoting Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. In Isaiah chapter 40, the context of what Matthew is quoting, which the hearers of Matthew would understand and be drawn to mind for, is this. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley should be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So prepare the way of the Lord. Preparing the way for the glory of the Lord to be revealed. The Lord's glory will be revealed. Matthew chapter 3, then we find John exhorting this brood of vipers. We also find John proclaiming one who is coming will baptize with the Holy Spirit. That one will bring a winnowing fork, that the image of harvest, and the separating of the wheat from the chaff. The wheat will be gathered in. the chaff cast off. But the wheat will be gathered in. That's hope. That's peace. That's placed before us, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and one day to be gathered into the Lord's barn to be His forever. Luke writes about this event, and Luke also quotes Isaiah 40. And Luke brings forward a clearer understanding of what Isaiah was writing in verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Luke writes it this way, and all mankind will see God's salvation. That is the ultimate encouragement for you. You, child of God, will see God's salvation. The salvation that is found only in Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God. So as you go through life, and these words of Scripture come beside you, even in the midst of terrible pain and suffering and tears and crying, the Word of God has come beside you, and the Word of God fills you. And will lift up your eyes and lift up your head, because you know the Lord is your salvation. And so in that moment, you will remain steadfast in the faith, because ultimately you belong to God. You are the Lord's, redeemed by His precious blood on the cross. You are redeemed, completely forgiven, and His possession forever. That's where you can find your encouragement. You are His forever. Yes, life has knocked you upside the head and made things difficult. Still, you are the Lord's forever. You've suffered rejection. You may have lost a job. Still, you are the Lord's forever, redeemed by the blood of Christ. You see, you understand the power of Scripture? Howard Rutledge understood it when he was suffering. And it kept him alive and going and gave him meaning through the day. Under such intense pressure, he endured with steadfastness in the faith. And you can too, because you have Christ just as he did. This is your encouragement, redeemed of Christ. And He's coming again one day. He's coming again to take us all home. For He is the Lord. And so I close with Paul's words from this portion of Romans chapter 15, verse 13. These words to fill you with encouragement. Be encouraged with these words. Romans 15, verse 13. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Memorize that verse. May it come alongside you and be a part of your life always. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be encouraged. The Word of God is so full of power. The Word of God is the power of hope. The Word of God is the power of peace. The Word of God is the power of love. The Word of God is the power of joy. The Word of God was revealed in Christ, your Savior, your salvation, your Lord. Amen and amen.